every Friday. You ready for this, pal? We ramp things up, give you a chance to take the floor, and we pick the absolute best through the week of emails that we receive to talk at ryanjesperson.com. These are the fieriest ones. These are the spiciest ones. It's time to bring the heat, Real Talkers, courtesy of our friends at the DQs of Northwest Edmonton and Sherwood Park. These are your hot takes. It's the Flamethrower, presented by the Dairy Queens in Palisades, Nemeo, Newcastle, Westmount, and Baseline Road. And this one from Dwayne, who says on Bill 18, on the shenanigans going on in Alberta politics right now, how do you politicize important research, medical research, cancer research that can help save lives? Screening or cutting off these grants to cash-strapped universities in Alberta is nothing less than putting lives at risk. That from Dwayne. How about this one from Renee, who says, Jespo, after listening to A Direct Attack on Academic Freedom, that was our episode with post-secondaries, and then Get Out of My Backyard, which was our episode about Daniel Smith's Bill 18, Renee says, I felt compelled to toss in my two cents. I was wondering, has anyone, like your academic guests or even Charles Adler, ever taken the time to read up on our Constitution, specifically the sections that delineate exclusive powers of federal and provincial governments? Have they ever looked at it through that lens? If they did, they may find that education, including post-secondary, falls to the provinces, not Ottawa. Yet here the feds are, through their proxies, bypassing Edmonton, handing out funding coming from taxpayers, including Albertans, to some post-secondary institutions that they deem worthy. Look, says Renee, whether it's housing, transportation, infrastructure, post-secondary education, we've seen a slow but steady incursion by Ottawa into areas that belong to the provinces. To use a hockey analogy, the feds are like chasing the puck like a peewee hockey team rather than taking the disciplined approach of an NHL team in playing positionally. To use a swimming analogy, Renee says, Ottawa needs to stay in its own lane, focus on the responsibilities specified in the Constitution. It is therefore correct, says Renee, that our province pushes back on this file and others, like their counterparts in Quebec have done in past. I suppose that makes us distinct too. He says, by the way, your Alberta alumni guest Andy Grabia accusing the Smith government of engaging in quote temper tantrums, he should go back and listen to his performance on the show. He refers to the premier as this woman, this lunatic with the memory of a goldfish, the restraint of a toddler, one who meddles in everything based on what she last heard. That does not help bolster his argument or serve as a demonstration of his abilities to engage in intelligent discussion or debate that one may expect from someone who says he's a product of one of our post-secondary institutions. That from Renee in Fort McMurray. Thanks, buddy. This one from KP, who says, Jespo, I lean right of center. You might think that that new Canadian Future Party that was 1 week ago, our Real Talk Roundtable, you might think it would appeal to me, this new federal party, but it simply doesn't. Just like the Alberta NDP, moving right doesn't appeal to me either. Why, you may ask? Because like Charles Adler alluded to, I can't stand identity politics. Anybody who calls their opponents fascists, Nazis, those aren't people I want to associate with. The United Conservatives, the Conservative Party of Canada, they're not fascist parties. The AFD and Brothers of Italy are not either. This and people who support terrorists wear their symbols are reasons I cannot support the Alberta NDP, especially with Janice Irwin, Nahed Nenshi, who are only where they are due to identity politics and lying to their bases. Woo! KP goes on to say, I challenge everybody to try to play the other side of the argument. Ask yourself, if you are an NDP supporter, why anybody would vote conservative on either level, provincial or federal? Like, did you give a good reason, like policy? Do you use exercise to say there's no good reason to disparage the other side? You need to talk to people who you disagree with. Touch some grass. Humanize those that you don't see eye to eye with, or you'll turn into that which you label us, which is fascist. That from KP throwing hand grenades. And what about this one from Gabriel, who wraps it up today, who says, well, you know, one of my favorite sayings, oh, and by the way, the subject line of Gabriel's email, earmuffs, kids, fucking woke babies. Okay, Gabriel, you got our attention. One of my favorite sayings, he says, is specificity is the soul of narrative. And I get that we can't get into the weeds with everything. More often than not, wild generalizations are tossed out, not based in reality. And in my opinion, it cheapens absolutely everything. Now, I know that we live in a post-fact society, okay? Only feelings matter. We all get high on our own supply of vibes and media narratives. So allow me to hotbox your studio for a minute, Gabriel. Okay. Metaphorically now, maybe literally later. says, along the train ride of this email, the first stop, the new centrist political hot air balloon. Let's get real. Quit with all these apology tours. Remember when he said that? Yeah. Unbelievable. Dominic Carty, the leader, interim leader, said we need to stop with Justin Trudeau's apology tours. I went, oh boy. He says, okay, so the white privileged dudes want power, have decided that enough is enough. So brave. We are strong. I guess the West is best and the indigenous can shut the fuck up now, right? Says Gabe. We got the big chest thumpers who are done with Trudeau hot tubbing with Hamas activists. And Mr. Interim Leader didn't even have the balls to be specific. Both those ideas, guys, so much boldness, so much truth-telling. We need more of this spinelessness in Canadian politics. I like this. This might be flamethrower of the month. He goes on to say, next junction, this wokeness bullshit with Charles Adler, Jespo, you and him on Monday. People who use the word woke are the people who can't actually define it. It's everybody's go-to grievance umbrella. Tucker Carlson and the libs of TikTok think that everything is woke. Everything your kids is so vapid, empty of anything except rage and those with no power. The Venn diagram of people still on Twitter and the people who are sick and tired of wokeness is a fucking circle. He says drug addicts get heroin delivered by Uber Eats to their downtown Edmonton Sky Palaces. Really? You believe this? Do you feel like all universities got rid of entrance exams and are now admitting students based on diversity, equity, and inclusion questionnaires? I almost feel like I need to explicitly say this is sarcasm in case some of your audience members start burning down universities. He says, I'm so sorry that Charles is tired of pronouns. You know, that onerous bit of basic respect that some people are asking for. But yeah, of course though, Ryan, diversity of opinions. And he says, the final stop on my train tour, can you please convene a round table on the left? He says, I've yet to hear even a basic synopsis of who or what that is. I mean, Charles thinks the NDP's broke because socialists don't have any money. I did think that was kind of a funny quote. Yeah. I did think that was pretty good. But Gabriel didn't necessarily love it. He says, if Charles is getting paid for these opinions, where do I sign up to get paid for mine? Because seriously, where's this? Who is this overbearing left in North America? Like, who is the left's counterpart to rebel media? I mean, I guess there are, maybe. He says, but to the post-millennial, to the Western Standard. Like, are the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star now considered the left because Post Media is owned by an American hedge fund and their star is now Jordan Peterson? And all this talk about extremism on both sides. Like, did I miss the massive speaking tour that the ghost of Fidel Castro is having as the counterpoint to Fucker Carlson meeting with the whiny both-siding queen Danielle Smith? Come on, he says. There are no both sides to anything in Canada. We're all down here arguing about the right and the left. And like, you think that Galen Weston, the grocery magnate, identifies with political parties? He says, I don't care about these boogeymen on the right and left, but I do care there are people who are so rich they don't have to care because of the political systems we sustain with our bitching and arguing and voting continues to do what it's supposed to, which is serve the wealthy. But don't worry, everybody, says Gabe. Pierre Poilievre will fix that for sure. That is pure fire from Gabe, who fired up his flamethrower at talk@ryanjesperson.com. You can do the same. Make it fiery enough. You could be featured on an upcoming episode of The Flamethrower, presented by the DQs of Northwest Edmonton and Sherwood Park. Coming up on next week's Real Talk, we got a whole bunch, including Charles Adler, back with me on Monday. Also early next week, Grand Prairie Mayor Jackie Clayton. They've bid adieu to the Alberta RCMP. They're getting set to welcome and introduce their new police chief. Could it be the biggest step toward a provincial police service? That's where we'll go next week. Have a safe weekend, and thanks for supporting Real Talk.